You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
Amen? You ready for the word?
Yeah.
All right, well, get your Bibles out. Worship tonight is going to be a part of the altar call. Somebody like, he lost his mind. Doesn't he know that there's protocol you're supposed to follow? It's offering and then songs and then preaching and then prayer. Does he not know that? How many of you were here Sunday morning? If you didn't, I'm still trying to figure out what happened to you. How many of you were here Sunday morning? Raise your hand real high. Real high. How many of you responded to the altar call where Pastor George said, any young person that wants to operate in a healing anointing, come up here, I'm gonna lay hands on you. All right, let me ask you a question. Why did you respond? Huh? You wanted it. Anybody else respond because you wanted it? Raise your hand if you responded because you wanted it. Anybody got a different reason for responding? Anybody? Go. You got a different reason? Okay. Uh-huh. Anybody got a different reason for responding? Good. I'm glad. If you want it, in order to get it, you've got to do what? Say what? Say it again. Say it loud. If you want it, in order to get it, you've got to. If you want it, in order to get it, you've got to. If you want it, in order to get it, you've got to. That applies every time you come into any setting where the word is being given. If you want it, in order to get it, you've got to take it. It can't have so many prerequisites on it that there's things that block you from taking it. I believe this. I believe that you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. There are things that for immature Christians, there are things that we have to do to get beyond your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions to where we can minister to your spirit, okay? So in certain settings, you will see me be a little bit different. Because in certain settings, we don't know what the spiritual condition is of the people that we're ministering to. But we're home tonight. Any visitors in the house? Anybody that's your first time? I scanned the audience pretty good. Anybody? First time? Brooke, you always messing stuff. I tell you the truth. Anybody? First time? All right. This is uniquely unusual for us. For the past, 2 months, every single solitary night, we've had visitors. But I believe God's doing something tonight. I didn't know that he was going to do this. It's not like I'm telling you that I had this inclination that we were going to be visitor-less. But I believe that at the end of this series, there's home folk that are here because home folk really need to end this a certain way. You need to be ready for the influx of people that's already here. It's not that it's coming. It's already here. It's already happening. It happens everywhere. And the rain has a tendency to dictate some of that. When it rains outside, people are like, I was going to go visit church tonight, but it's wet and the sky is falling, so I'm going to stay at home. All right? All you church rats, your people said, no, you ain't staying at home. Well, throw something at your head. Get in the car. Right? And so you're here, and you're here on purpose, and there's certain things that need to be poured into you because you make up the core of this group. And one of the things that needs to be instilled into you on a very high level is that whenever there's an impartation or an anointing available, it does not slap you in the head involuntarily. Okay? Now, I want you to operate in discernment, wisdom, and respect. You hear somebody older than you go, Lord, girl, the power of the Lord was just so good and it just hit me. I don't even know what happened to me. I love her too. I love him too. Praise God. There is an anointing and an atmosphere that can be so heavy that you sense it when you walk into it. Now, I'm not discounting that, okay? There is an atmosphere that can, and for those who are spiritually in a place where they need that, I want this place to be that. There's also an anointing that can be so heavy that those of us who have had some experience in the spirit, even we sense it when we walk into a place. But more times than not, if you are the spiritually mature person, you are also the temperature setter. Okay? If you are the spiritually mature person, you are also the temperature setter. So when Miss Laurie does pre-service prayer, I don't expect for David to have to go up there with her with a guitar, play through three songs before she can start to feel the spirit moving and get into it. Work myself into the place where I can pray real good. She got up. Nope, that's not it. So got up. Nope, that ain't it. Headed a bit. Nope, that ain't it. There's the groove. There we go. And then you start trucking along. I don't expect that out of her because she's been doing it for years and years and years. And I know the spirit that's on her. And so whenever she walks into a situation, I don't care if she's going to the restaurant, because I've been to the restaurant with the woman, or if she's coming to church, there's a spirit of prayer that's there. Now, whether or not it manifests is up to her. The gifts of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Whether or not it comes out in a certain package is up to her, but she sets that tone. And so I want to raise a group of young people that understand that if something is going to be given to you, it's only going to be received by you if you are willing to reach out and place a demand on it and take it. All right? So much gets left behind because nobody accepts it. So much gets left on the table because nobody took it. And they were waiting on the worship. And then they were waiting on the atmosphere. And then they were waiting on somebody to work them up to it. And they had to turn the lights down low for the altar call to happen. Come on, people. We're better than that. Okay? So when I came out here and I said, I'm ready to preach, and there was about 17 of y'all looked at me like, and I can, you can feel that. You can feel, because you weren't ready to place a demand on the word. And I've even had well-meaning ministers tell me before, you can't do that with teenagers. You've got to go out there and you've got to get them, and in their soul, you've got to get them into a place where they're ready to receive. And once we, and it truly does happen. You watch it in worship. You'll get up here and you'll sing that fast song or whatever, then the slow music will kick in. And then there's this low moment where we wait on the Holy Spirit to come in. But the truth be told is we're not waiting on the Holy Spirit to come in. Where two or more are gathered, he's already in the midst, right? He was here when you start walking in the building, right? We're not waiting on the Holy Ghost to get here. We're waiting on us to get in tune with the Holy Ghost, right? And so you'll see it in worship. Folks will start to get in tune with the Holy Ghost, and then you'll go, there it is. And then we'll hit a groove, and then God will still do whatever you want. But what happens if you didn't have to wait until we got to that groove? How much more could the Spirit of God do if there was no lull moment and you didn't have to wait until we got to that groove, but you came already expecting for the outpouring and you were ready to take it? I want every time somebody walks onto the stage, you go, give me that. Give me that. I've got a demand to give me that. So how many of you believe that I'm going to say something that is for you? That's weak. I don't necessarily need you to make noise so that I can preach good. I have developed my own personal audience inside my head. And the dude inside my head dances every time I say something that is good preaching. that will allow me to preach to a brick wall. All right? So I don't need it for me. I need it for you. David said something earlier. Sometimes your shout will scare the hell out of you. I thought that was so good. I was like, yeah, boy. Sometimes you need to wake yourself up and just scare everything up out of you that's stopping you from receiving all that God wants to give you. All right? So how many of you believe that I'm about to say something that is for you? Praise God. Tonight, the last night of This Is How We Overcome. That's okay. No. You just wait until we get into what we're going to get into next week. All right? And tonight, the title of the message is this. The lifestyle of an overcomer. Some of you are way too young to remember this. Most of you are way too young to remember this. Some time ago, there used to be this TV show. The TV show had a dude on it named Robin Leach. And he did this show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And I can tell you that people all over America for prime time gathered around their TV because we wanted to know what the rich and famous live like. What kind of toilet do they have? What do they have in their bedroom? Do they have a faucet in their own, in their kitchen, or is it motion sensor? This was back in late 80s, early 90s, when with nothing motion censored, right? Do they even have to touch their trash can? Or does the trash can just... Do you have trash? And go off somewhere. Like, what does it look like to be rich and famous? Well, the question that the Holy Spirit is asking you tonight is this. What does it look like to be an overcomer? What is your everyday life like? The lifestyle of an overcomer. What happens to you on a daily basis? And how do you overcome what it is that happens to you on a daily basis? Do you just come in here and fake it till you make it on Wednesday night? Or is there real fruit of overcoming active in your life? Stand up. The lifestyle of an overcomer looks like this. An overcomer has an attitude and a swagger about them. Say, I got swag. See, there you go. An overcomer has an attitude and a swagger about them. And the attitude and the swagger about them is rooted in this truth. Jesus overcame 2,000 years ago. And because he overcame 2,000 years ago, when he overcame 2,000 years ago, I overcame 2,000 years ago. I am currently an overcomer. Everything that I do and say has overcoming power attached to it. And in the future, I will overcome. There is nothing that can happen that will ever rob me of my overcomer status. Past, present, and future, my lifestyle is that of an overcomer. It's not that I am momentarily an overcomer. I'm not just an overcomer when something bad is happening. I'm not just an overcomer when something good is happening. I'm not an overcomer dependent on the circumstance or the situation or the music or whatever else is going on. My lifestyle is an overcomer. I live like an overcomer. Okay? So say this. Concerning my past. Jesus overcame. He overcame death. He overcame hell. He overcame the grave. He overcame sin. He overcame sickness. He overcame poverty. He overcame depression. He overcame fear. And I abide in him. And he abides in me. When he overcame, I overcame. That's the past of an overcomer. We're talking about the whole lifestyle, right? Past, present, future. Your lifestyle is rooted in your past, present, and future. You were raised a certain way, so you act a certain way, and then in the future, you're either going to keep acting that way or you're going to change it for the better or the worse. That's your lifestyle. That's what defines your lifestyle. Right? So that's the past of an overcomer. Say this. Concerning my present, I am currently an overcomer.
I overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
I overcome by the word of my testimony.
I open my mouth
and declare,
I am never defeated.
I always overcome.
Because of the finished works of Jesus Christ.
I am an overcomer.
That's right now, see? That's who you are right now. That's your lifestyle.
You've made a certain declaration about your past, a certain declaration about who you are right now.
Now say this.
Concerning my future,
I will always overcome.
No matter what happens.
No matter how the enemy attacks.
No matter what comes my way.
I start from a position of victory.
I am never defeated.
I walk in love.
Therefore, I never fail.
Because love never fails.
I am never afraid.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Therefore, the love of Jesus
conquers all fear in my life.
No weapon
formed against me
shall prosper.
Every tongue
that rises against me
in judgment,
he will condemn.
I am more than a conqueror.
I am victorious.
Now see, that's your future.
That's your future. That's your future.
Now there's so many, that understand that this is how you form a testimony.
This is how, testimonies don't just happen to you. A testimony
is not something that happened bad, God did something good, and now you have a testimony. That's not it.
A testimony is something that you create by who you are.
And then the statement of who you are becomes your testimony. You testify according to who you are.
And so if you have a testimony of an overcomer, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, then you will always be an overcomer. Now have a seat.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about pleading the blood. To plead means to put forth an answer on the part of a defendant to a legal declaration or charge, to address a court as an advocate, or to allege or to cite a legal defense.
Now, we have already settled that Jesus is our advocate, right? Forever making intercession for us to the Father, right?
But the part of this definition I want you to see is the part I highlighted. To put forth an answer.
In order to put forth an answer, you have to open your what?
And say the answer, right? Words
form the answer.
So to plead means that your mouth has to put something in action.
To plead means that your mouth has to put something in action.
Jesus is talking to the centurion and he says this. He says, the centurion comes to him and says, I need you to heal my servant.
Jesus says, I'll go heal your servant.
The centurion says, nope, you don't need to go anywhere.
Stop right there. Just stop.
You don't need to go anywhere.
I am a man under authority and I have people who are under authority under me.
I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to the other, come, and he comes.
The centurion understood the power of movement based on his word.
And so pleading the blood means movement concerning your words.
You tell it what to do and it never loses its power. So whatever you apply it to with your words, it will cover.
Now, there's a marrying of the concept of by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that come together that equals overcoming.
So for all of you who are in school, think of that scripture as a word problem.
Revelation 12:11 is a word problem. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, overcoming equal blood of the Lamb plus word of testimony. And some of y'all are like, why'd he have to take it to math? I'm not even in school no more, and my head won't even think that way. But think about it like that. In order to overcome, you have to combine blood of the Lamb with the word of your testimony. That's why it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They didn't say, it didn't say either or, it says and, which means that both of them operate in tandem. Why is that important? Remember what happens with the blood over the doorpost. Death angel passed over. It was a sign for the children of Israel. It separated them from the rest of the world. Calamity could be happening out there, but they overcame. They were passed over. Now watch this. Remember that it was by faith that we get the precedence for pleading the blood. So understand that happened in the book of Exodus. Hebrews 11:28, I've given you this scripture before, says that it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. So it was by faith, the release of faith, that allowed them to operate in a place of blood pleading. This blood is going to protect our family. And because of what Jesus did, you no longer have to have the blood of an actual lamb. So how do I put it over my doorpost? They painted it. They went out there and put it on their doorpost. How do I put it over my doorpost? Well, you understand this. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of Christ. Hang on, I got those two scriptures backwards. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast. Now yeast symbolizes sin. Okay? Which is what you really are. You're without sin. Look what it says. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So you don't need another lamb. Christ has already been sacrificed. So how do I get the blood of the lamb over what I need it to cover? I say it. I plead it. I put it there by my words. That blood makes you righteous. It is the blood of Jesus which covers our sin and makes us righteous that we are pleading. You are pleading your righteousness when you plead the blood. Do you understand the significance of that? Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to tell you anyway. The significance of pleading your righteousness is this. Sickness tries to come on your body. Sickness tries to come on your body. What you say determines whether or not it stays or goes. So, you say, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes me righteous before the eyesight of God. So sickness, you take your hand off of me. You cannot have me. You have no right over me. Pleading the blood of Jesus means you tell sickness who you really are. See, sickness is just trying to test who you are. When you plead the blood, you say the blood of Jesus is on the doorpost of my life, my body, my house, and everything that concerns me. So death angel, because the end goal of all sickness is to kill you. I want you to know that. You don't just get the sniffles just because God don't like you and he wants to see snot come out your nose. All right? The end goal of every sickness is to kill you. the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So you plead the blood, and the death angel, the sickness, passes over you. Or maybe you're in a wreck. And it could be bad. But you remind the enemy who you are. You cannot have me because I don't belong to you. I am blood covered. I was bought with a price. And you plead that blood, and it cannot touch you. You see, your righteousness gives you the right. It gives you the right to protection. It gives you the right to salvation. It gives you the right to healing. It gives you the right to prosperity. It gives you the right to deliverance. That's why it's called righteousness. It's a part of your birthright. You've been reborn. So pleading the blood of Jesus is to plead your righteousness. We overcome, we are overcomers because of his sacrifice. Things past, things present, and things in the future have been overcome, swallowed up in the victory of his resurrection. We have access because of his victory. Everything that pertains to life and godliness belongs to us through him. We have access to everything that is part of the kingdom of God because of his blood. All you have to do is abide. All you have to do is abide. Take it, believe it, receive it. How do you take it? I take it. That's mine. I take it. Anybody ever been in a short order diner? Ding, order up. All right, that's mine. I take it. Yeah, you're right. You ordered the hamburger. Here you go. Why? Because you said it's mine. You took it with the by signifying who you are. Right? All right, so then stop there. I just want to make sure you're still with me, okay? School wasn't too bad for y'all today, was it? All right, praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1, don't answer that. Verse 2 through 4 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Christ, and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us great and precious promises. Look at this. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What have you overcome? Corruption. Where? In the world. Why is it there? Through lust. But you get to be a partaker of God's own divine nature. The Jesus in you is bigger than the lust that's in the world. So what's in the nature of Jesus? John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you that in me, where? In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Smile because of it. Raise your hand in here if I've ever told you to smile. If you ever heard me say, smile. But Pastor John, you don't know what's going on. Smile. But you don't understand how bad. Smile. But I'm defending me. Smile. Why? What's in the smile? What's in the smile? See, what I'm really wanting you to do, one of these days y'all gonna catch on, is when things are terrible on the outside, in the world, you just realize that the world is doing what it was promised it was gonna do. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. Everything that he ever promised you is going to come to pass.
Everything that he ever promised you is going to make good. He's going to make good on that promise. And part of his promise is, I promise you this, in the world, there will be trouble. There will be tribulation. There will be trial. There will be issues. People are going to treat you bad. People are going to talk bad about you. I know this ain't what you necessarily expected from a Word of Faith church on a Wednesday night. But I just want to make sure that you are well informed. It's going to happen. All right? That's not the promise for you. It didn't say things are going to be bad for you. It said in the world, things are going to be bad. You will experience it where? You'll experience it in the world. In your school, it's going to be bad. All right? Holy Ghost influences all through our schools as long as we got Holy Ghost filled kids in our schools. But that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to do what the devil does. You're going to see stuff that you don't want to see in your hallway. There ain't no reason for you to be scared. But look at what he says. You're not in the world. You're in him. And he says that if you're in the right vehicle, you'll get to the right destination. Right? If you're in the wrong vehicle, you're going to crash. If you're in the right vehicle, you'll get to the right destination. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Smile. Why? I have overcome the world. So the beginning of the verse says, these things I have spoken to you that in me, you got to get in him in order to experience the overcoming. But when you get in him and you experience the overcoming, he says, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. I've already overcome it. Lifestyle of an overcomer. What? It's already been overcome. And since it's already been overcome in my present, I know how to overcome it. All I got to do is speak the word. Let the word do the work. And in my future, I will overcome. Go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to get this, through this scripture, and then we're going to get up and we're just going, girl, I don't even know what we're going to do. I know all y'all ain't girls, but sometimes it's easier to talk to girls. Boy, I don't even know what we're going to do. I'll talk to you too. Worship team, y'all can come on up here. Go to Romans chapter 8. There's a purpose for the worship being on the back end tonight. The end of a thing is better than the beginning of it. You ought to shout, sing, dance harder, faster, and with more vigor and life tonight than you did at the beginning of this series. During this series, some of y'all been drunk in the Holy Spirit, rolling around on the floor, laughing uncontrollably. All of that's been breaking out. Well, tonight you're going to learn that it's subject to you. If you want to be there, you can be there. If you don't want to be there, you ain't going to get there. Don't worry. You think they look crazy? Just chill out. Don't worry about it. It ain't going to come on you. It will leave you alone. If you disqualify yourself, be careful if you don't disqualify yourself. I won't even walk close to some of them. I want all that God has for me, but I want to drive home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. You ought to be ready to celebrate tonight. And let me tell you something else, Pentecostal children. Let me tell you something. The best worst thing is the best worst thing that can happen to a Pentecostal child is one of your friends decide to come to church. It really is. It's the best worst thing. Because it's really good because you want them there and you want them to get saved. It's the best thing in the world. Yes, they're going to get all of God. But I'm going to have to explain like six things to them tonight. I think about that girl y'all brought the pre-service prayer. I'm like, what'd you do that for? She's in pre-service prayer. She left. I asked her. I shook her hand. You freaked out? Yes. Why? It's the best worst thing. It's awesome, but good. All right? But listen, ain't no visitors here tonight, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ain't no visitors in the house tonight. We can go club Jesus in this thing. It's going to be awesome. All right? Romans chapter 8. Watch this. I counted today. I made a list. And I counted, and this was just a cursory list. I didn't get all into the Greek and all into the exegeting the scriptures and all this other stuff. And I got like 17 translations of the Bible, and I didn't go into all of them. I just went straight up New King James, and for some of it, I did some Amplified. All right? This is real easy. And I counted 40 total ways in one scripture of what you overcome. 40 different things that you overcome. All right? Look at the list. Condemnation, flesh, sin, death, law requirements, thoughts, separation from God, sickness, orphan status, bondage, fear, suffering, futility, corruption, decay, the grave, lack of patience, weakness, ignorance in the spirit, lack, uncertainty, lack of skill, the enemy, fault, indifference, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, affliction, calamity, hunger, destruction, peril, which is risk and danger, weapons, principalities, powers, things in the present, things in the future, and all created things. That's what you overcome according to Romans 8. And that's just one chapter of the Bible. That's how much of an overcomer you are. All of everything on that list cannot touch you. It 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 can't attach itself to you. It can't come around you. The only way it bothers you is if you let it exist. That's a lot. You ought to put this on your refrigerator. You can put stuff in these categories all over the place. But it can't touch you. It can't touch you. Some people are like, yeah, but whatever. You don't know what's going on. I don't care what's going on in your life currently. All you got to do is apply who you are currently. Get into your current situation. Go, you can't touch me. Wake yourself up. Wake it up. Wake everybody around you up. Just let it know. You got to tell stuff what you are. Who you are. Who you belong to. Watch the beginning of this chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us what? 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 What are you?
Free.
You're free from the law of sin and death. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. Another one of those promises we don't want to necessarily hear. Live according to the flesh, you're going to eventually die. Thank you. Have a good day. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will die. Live. Life belongs to you. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. You got to let stuff know who you are. I hope I'm waking somebody up in their spirit tonight. So you just realize who you are. You should have a certain attitude and swagger about it. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. I'm serious, y'all. Like I do. I'm that crazy dude that does the stuff that he tells you in front of you at home. Right? Like I get the sniffles and start feeling a little scratch right here in my throat. And I just go, you don't know who I am.
Yeah.
And by morning, it's like, yep, you're right. Didn't know it was that serious. My bad, dog. It's all good. I'm going to go try to attach myself to somebody else. You got to let stuff know who you are. Watch this. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed where? in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Everything in the earth is waiting on you. All of creation is waiting on you to step up and say who you are. All of think about it. What if the cold was waiting on you to tell it to let go? What if the poverty was waiting on you to tell it to let go? What if the cancer was waiting on you to tell it to release? And that the only reason it was still there is because nobody took authority and said, let go. Everybody was like, oh, that's so terrible and this is so bad and you need to go and get some NyQuil. And look, I believe in medicinal stuff too, but I also believe that we serve the God of more than enough. The Lord God, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. What if it was waiting on you? That's what this verse says. All of creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. It didn't go quiet. It put up a fight, but it lost. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of who? The children of God. That means that everything that is corrupt right now is being delivered from the corruption and set in your lap. Poverty is corrupt. But the reverse of poverty is prosperity, right? The other side of no money is money. The other side of sickness is health. The other side of defeat is victory, right? And so what the scripture is saying is everything that is corrupt is being delivered from corruption's hands and being transferred to the children of God. Here you go, everything you need. Sickness, nope, that's being delivered. That your health is being delivered. Here you go, complete health. Some of y'all need to read the Bible a little more with a little more animation. Likewise, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we should pray, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You can no longer say you don't know what the will of God is. God himself comes and says, you don't need to know what my will is, just groan. I know my will, and I will intercede in your groaning. I'll inhabit your groaning. So even when you don't know how you ought to pray, just groan. Just be willing to yield and groan. Just groan. All you got to do is just one time. Everybody try to just go, do it again. Do it two times. Hey. There you go. I'm telling you. Since all you got to do is groan. He intercedes with those groanings, and he takes something that you don't even know means anything and makes it mean something, because he knows what he's thinking. And so if you give over your thinking, he'll take your thoughts, wipe them out, and give you his thoughts, and then tell you to pray out his thoughts. He'll give you what to pray, tell you to pray it, and then do what you said to do. You know how I know that's true? Look at verse 28. And we know that how many things? How many? How many? So all you got to do is groan. Even the stuff that you don't even understand, just groan one time. Just groan a couple of times. Just get in the spirit and groan a couple of times. That's all you got to do is let him intercede. Some people, Pastor John, you oversimplifying that thing. Well, sometimes it needs to be oversimplified. We've made it so complicated that we don't get it. Just let the Spirit take over. And what do you get when you let the Spirit take over? And we know that all things work for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. Say, Jesus is my twin. You've been transformed into his image. That's what it says, right? I'm not making this up. That's what the thing says. Isn't that what the page says? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. I'm going to go ahead and get to the end because we can stay here for a long time. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, now I'm going to verse 35. Lord have mercy. Verse 31. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not stand up while we read this. This is too good for you to sit down and read. Stand up while we read this. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also give freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Not man, God justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. There's death. Now watch this. Yet in all these things, you don't have to die. Why? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. I wish I could find some young folks who were really persuaded. You were convinced. To be persuaded means I'm convinced, even though I know in my head there may be something that I don't necessarily agree with. That's what persuaded means. His thoughts are higher than mine, so even if I don't understand it, don't feel like, and don't necessarily want to do it in a natural, I do it anyway because the supernatural swallows up the natural. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come. Hello, lifestyle of an overcomer. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing gets in the way, y'all. Nothing gets in the way. Nothing gets in the way. We are more than conquerors in everything. Everything. People try to sell you this 2-cent theology that says that, well, you know, you can't overcome all of it now. That ain't what the word just said. It says in all these things, we are more than conquerors. But you can't expect to always win. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Go tell RG3 that. Tell Venus and Serena. They expected to win so much that they played each other. Like, we sisters, but I'm just saying, I'm going to be the best. No, I'm going to be the best. In all of these things, you need to understand this. Y'all can come and get this. Understand this. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power. It was powerful then, it's powerful now, and it will always be powerful. So whenever you plead the blood and you stand under that testimony, that confession, that pleading the blood and standing under that confession is what enables you to overcome. Amen? All right. So y'all come up here. Oh, that's everybody in the house. Ain't nobody here but home folks. If you even thought twice about staying in your seat. Ain't nobody in here but home folks. Ain't nobody in here. I release the parent section. I know that sets a terrible precedent. I'll fight it later. Come on up here. Everybody. Everybody. All of you. We're going to worship together tonight. We're just going to celebrate. And so right now, just lift your hands to the Father. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here tonight. I have every intention of celebrating you tonight, of magnifying you, of giving you glory, giving you honor, praising you. And so I yield myself right now. I offer up a sacrifice of praise. I declare with my mouth, this is the word of my testimony. I am a worshiper. I am a free worshiper. I am an uninhibited worshiper. Nothing holds me back. I am in your presence. I see your face. And I worship you now. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.